We're so grateful to our worship team for giving us the opportunity to praise God in such a wonderful way this morning. Let's respond and offer our thanks to God by saying together, Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This morning we are concluding our series on the 23rd Psalm. And, each week we are reading the psalm from a different translation of the Bible so that maybe we can hear those words that are so familiar to us in some new and fresh ways. And we've been focusing on the 23rd Psalm now for 6 Sundays, and it's been such a blessing for me. And I feel like coming to the 6th Sunday that there is so much more to be said. God is just so good to us. And this morning, I'd like to ask that we would read the psalm together as we prepare to hear God's word. And as you read it this time, I want you to think about all the ways that God loves you. Think about all the ways that God, our shepherd, loves you. Let's read it together.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Psalm 23 begins and ends with God. It begins, the Lord is my shepherd. And it ends, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, anytime you start worrying, you need to remember Psalm 23, verse 5. If you have difficulty with the future, if you feel anxiety welling up in you when you think about tomorrow, you need to remember that last verse. Because this verse tells us at least 3 reasons that you and I never have to fear the future. You never have to fear the future because of the 3 things that David tells us in this short verse. Now, once again, this morning, we've included some teaching notes, and I would invite you to take those out and follow along and write things down as we go through this message together. And if you're taking notes, you might want to write this down. Here's the first reason that we don't have to fear the future. I don't need to fear the future because God's goodness is watching over me. God's goodness is watching over me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you know that in his goodness, God is always paying attention to you? Do you know that there has never been a second of your life that God was not watching you? God is always paying attention to you. God knows your details, your ups and your downs, your good and your bad. Now you might wonder, how in the world can God care about little old me? I mean, there are 7.5 billion people in the world. How can God be paying attention to me all the time? Well, if God can create the billions of stars in the sky, is great enough to pay attention to every one of us too. The goodness of God is following you all the days of your life. Now, in the last part of verse 5 that we didn't get to look at yet, David gives us a powerful illustration of God's goodness. He says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." This past week, Lisa shared this picture to me that's there with me, that's there in her teaching notes. And it was from a devotional article that she read about this verse, "You anoint my head with oil." And as you look at that picture, listen to what this devotional writer said about that verse. "Sheep can get their head caught in briars and die trying to get untangled. There are hard little flies that like to torment sheep by laying eggs in their nostrils, which turn into worms and drive the sheep to beat their heads against a rock, sometimes until they die. Their ears and eyes are also susceptible to tormenting insects. So the shepherd anoints their whole head with oil, and then there is peace. That oil forms a barrier of protection against all the evils that try to destroy the sheep." Now, in the same way, David says, God protects you. God protects you from all sorts of things that you may not even be aware of. Accidents that you could have gotten into. Problems that you could have created. Decisions you made and God said, "No, we're not going to let the consequences of that one happen right now." Thanks be to God. God protected you from enemies that might have taken you down in your life. The Bible says, "Surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life." Now, that doesn't mean that only good things will ever happen to you. Obviously, that's not true. Every one of us has experienced bad things. We've had some disappointments, some troubles, some times of suffering, some heartache. And David is saying to us, you can't control everything that happens in your life, but you can be sure of this. If the Lord is your shepherd, God will always be at work for you to bring out good, even in the worst of circumstances. That's the great promise the Apostle Paul writes about in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And let's read this verse together. "We know that God works all things together for good, for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to His purpose." Now notice that phrase, "for the ones who love God." All things do not work together for good for everybody. If you're not in the flock that's following the shepherd, if you're running away from God, if you're ignoring God's presence in your life, if you're not trying to live in God's love, all things are not working together for good for you. This is a promise that those who love God, those who are committed to walking with the shepherd, will find goodness in that. Even when bad things happen to them. Now, of course, when you're going through a bad time, you never can see good in that moment, right? I mean, there is nothing good about the heartache and the suffering that you and I experience. But David declares that even when we can't see God's goodness is still at work. So how can we stay awake to the goodness of God? How can we be aware of that flow of God's grace that abides with us in everything in life? Well, one of the ways ways that we can do that is by developing a spirit of gratitude. This past week, the pastors of our conference gathered with our Bishop Park for a retreat day, and our leader was Dr. Karen Bo-Lee, who teaches prayer and the devotional life at Princeton Seminary. And Dr. Bo-Lee said that all the time we are giving out, and it's so important for us also to create space in our lives so that we might get filled up. This is true for all of us. We all need to take time to get our souls filled with the goodness of God, to drink deep in the goodness of God. And she told us that one of the ways she gets filled up is by keeping a gratitude journal. First thing every morning, she said, she reviews the events of the day before, and then she writes down at least 5 ways that in the day before she experienced the goodness of God. What a wonderful discipline. I mean, I wonder if you were to review back over yesterday, this morning, what would those 5 things be on your list? As you name what you're grateful for, you become aware of the flow of grace in your life. God has been so, so good to you. God has been so, so good to me. I don't have to fear the future because God's goodness is watching over me. And then secondly, David says, I don't have to fear the future because God's mercy is working in me. David writes, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Now, why does he write both goodness and mercy? What's the difference between the goodness of God and the mercy? One of my favorite explanations of those words is the one that Pastor Rick Warren gives. Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life, describes goodness and mercy like this. He says, goodness is when God gives me what I don't deserve. Goodness is when God gives me what I don't deserve. Rick says it this way. I don't deserve all the blessings in my life, and neither do you. You just took a breath. Did you deserve that? Your heart just took a beat. Did you do something to earn that? You live in a free country. Everything you have in your life, he says, is a gift from God. God's goodness means that God gives you what you don't deserve. God's mercy, he says, is when God doesn't give me what I do deserve. Right? Rick says this, all the ways I've been mean, I've failed, I've done wrong, I've been self-centered, I deserve punishment for that, he says. If God gave me everything I deserved, I wouldn't be standing in front of you right now. And you wouldn't take your next breath, he says. The Bible says goodness and mercy are going to follow me. And if I follow the shepherd, I can expect both God's provision and God's pardon. I can expect his provision. He gives all kinds of good things in my life. And his pardon, he forgives all kinds of bad things in my life. In Psalm 103, another psalm attributed to David, there's this powerful declaration of God's goodness and God's mercy. And we're just going to look at 3 verses of this, but I would encourage you to read the whole psalm, which beautifully expresses how good, how merciful, our shepherd is. But let's read these three verses together. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. Now, aren't you glad that this verse in Psalm 23 says, God's goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life? And it doesn't say God's criticism and judgment will follow me all the days of my life. Where would I be? Where would you be without the overwhelming, never-ending love of God? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. 2 weeks ago, when we were focusing on the rod and the staff of the shepherd, we looked at the difference between a cowboy and a shepherd. And we had this picture of cowboys on horseback driving a herd of cattle. And we saw that cowboys drive cattle from behind. But shepherds lead sheep from the front. Here David says, goodness and mercy follow me. The shepherd is out in front of me. Goodness and mercy follow me. Some have suggested that goodness and mercy give us the image of a sheepdog. The shepherd in front, the sheepdog is behind. The sheepdogs are nipping at the heels of the sheep, keeping them at the right path, protecting them from thieves or wolves that might try to harm them. The sheepdog's in your life. God's goodness. God's mercy. Being away to God's goodness for me keeps me in the fold and following the shepherd. Being away to God's mercy for me keeps me on the right path and protects me from harm. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. There's never been a day. Never been a day of your life God's goodness and mercy have been following you. So let me ask you this morning, what are you worried about? What are you afraid of? You don't have to fear the future. God's goodness is watching over you. You don't have to be anxious about things. God's mercy is working in you. And then David says, the third thing here. I don't have to fear the future because God's glory is waiting for me. God's glory is waiting for me. Second part of this verse. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if you're taking notes, you might want to circle that little word that begins the second half of this verse, the word and. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That little word connects today and tomorrow. Even after you've lived a life of blessing here on earth with the shepherd, it's not the end. This psalm is building to a grand finale. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a big ending. Amen? So that means that I don't even have to fear the biggest thing that people fear. I don't even have to fear death. Remember back in verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the dark valley, if you know and love Jesus, if the Lord is your shepherd, death is not a dark valley that you walk into and stay there. Death is a pathway that takes you through the dark valley into the house of the Lord forever. It just gets better and better if the Lord is your shepherd. Even if I have a tough life here on earth, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, where there is no more suffering, no more sorrow, no more sin, no more sadness, no more problems, no more pain, no more pressure, forever. You know, we can see glimpses of the glory that awaits us in eternity, even right now. In another psalm attributed to David, Psalm 19, David declares, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sun, the moon, the stars, they give us a glimpse of the glory of God. The beauty of the sunrise and the sunset, there is so much beauty in God's creation. More to see than we can possibly take in. All of it declaring the glory of God, giving us a glimpse of heaven." And we can catch glimpses of heaven also in the fellowship of the church. When we worship together, when we pray together, when we dig into the scriptures together, when we serve together and enjoy fellowship together, we get a little foretaste of heaven. And we get it also in our day-to-day living, in the people that God gives us to love, in meaningful work to do, in so many, many wonderful gifts. All these good things give us a glimpse of the glory to be revealed to us. You know, as I was thinking about this, I thought of another ice cream illustration. Just imagine going into an ice cream shop that has like a gazillion different flavors, and you see this one new flavor that you never tried, and you're not sure if you like it. And so you ask the server, and she puts a little bit of that ice cream on one of those little plastic spoons and gives you a taste of it. And if you're like me, I've never met a flavor of ice cream I didn't like. It's like the best you've ever had. I'll have a large cone of that. Friends, all the blessings God has given us in creation, in the church, in day-to-day life, the most wonderful mountaintop experience you've ever had with Jesus, it's just like that little plastic spoon full of glory. The glory that is to be revealed to us as we dwell in the house of the Lord, it is far beyond what we can even now imagine. The Apostle Paul was taken by this when he wrote these wonderful words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And let's read these together. "God has prepared things for those who love him that no eye has seen, or ear has heard, or that has crossed the mind of any human being." Wow. Surely, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What in the world are you afraid of? You're going to a better place if the Lord is your shepherd. You know, I've so enjoyed going deeper into Psalm 23 over these weeks. And as we bring this series to a close, I want to ask you what may be the most important question in your life. The question that will make all the difference in how you experience your life here and now. Question that will make all the difference for you in eternity. And the big question is this: who is God? is your shepherd? How do you feel about the future? As you look at tomorrow, or next week, or next month, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, how do you see it? And as you think about eternity, what do you feel? Is your mind filled with anxiety, worry, and fear over the future? If it is, hear what the psalmist says. Lay your burdens down and say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Trust in Jesus. He will provide everything you need. Follow him and he will give rest to your soul and lead you in the right path. He'll protect you from harm. He'll fill your life with good things. If the Lord is your shepherd, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Blessing upon blessing here and now. And you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It just keeps getting better and better with Jesus. The best is yet to come. Sarah, our director of worship arts, has put together a video. And as you watch this video, and listen to the words of this psalm one more time, I pray that you will be able to say with all your heart, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything."